And what is a good citizen? Simply one who never says, does, or thinks anything that is unusual. Schools are maintained in order to bring this uniformity up to the highest possible point. A school is a hopper into which children are heaved while they are still young and tender. Therein they are pressed into certain standard shapes and covered from head to heels with official rubber stamps. And this week's opening quote comes from Henry Louis Mencken. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to have your company again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. The world of 2015 is very different to what most people in mainstream society believe it to be. Many people in 2015 have more of a television education or a government education than a real-life education. Most people simply accept the education that they've been given by the school. They accept the story that the media tells them on television every night about what's actually going on in the world. They accept that their governments are there to manage their infrastructure for them in a responsible manner, and that the police are there to keep them safe from crime. And people also believe and readily accept that their armies and militaries are there to ensure that they are able to repel any aggressor should their country be threatened by another nation. People are taught via the education and business models that the economy is the most important thing about your country, and the most important thing the country can strive for is a stable economy and good economic worth on the world market. And we're taught that we must work to support this system, we must pay taxes to this system, and we need to have the type of life that is presented to us by the government and education system as a successful life. In fact, most people that grow up in Western society truly believe that when they grow up, they're going to have the perfect marriage, 2.4 children, and a white picket fence. But really, when you step back and look at the reality of the world, is this what the world is really like? Is this what our governments are really like? Is this really the reason we have police forces, and is this really the reason we have militaries? Of course, there is a degree of truth to the fact that the police protect us from crime. They do that on occasion, but the role of the police seems to have changed very much in the last few years, and even the attitude of the police towards the population has changed a great deal. It has here in Australia, and I've seen similar changes with the attitude of police overseas as well. And it's gotten to the point now that people are beginning to step back and ask the questions, is the world really the way I thought it was, and does my government really have my best interests at heart? Because if they do, then why on earth are they doing the things that they are doing? And these are questions that are troubling the mind of most people these days, simply by the fact the system is becoming very, very intolerant of the people, and one needs to question why. Is there some particular state of hardship that's happened in the world that has caused our governments to treat us in such a brutal and discourteous manner, to treat the people with such disregard in all Western countries? What is it that the people have done to offend our governments or hurt our governments so much that they should now be treating the people the way they are? But of course, we're told that they have to be strict and they have to be strong, and we all have to tighten our belts because it is good for the economy, because of course the economy is all important and we are facing tough economic times due to the world situation. And these are the sort of phrases that they offer us in order to appease us. And people listen, they go, okay, well, that sounds reasonable, but they never really stop to ask why and what the statement really means. Because what does it mean? And if the global economy is in such disrepair that we need to tighten our belts in order to fix it, then perhaps we need to actually examine the economy and figure out why this system that we have put in place to service our needs is suddenly putting us in such a state of scarcity and such a state of shortage. The problem, of course, is that the people have forgotten that the economy is supposed to be there to service the needs of the society, and not the other way around. And let's not just stop with the economy, because that is actually the function of government as well. The function of government is to service the needs of the population. Only now we're seeing the population suffering the whim of the government in regard to virtually any action it wants to carry out. Take the situation here in Australia. And our sociopathic Prime Minister Tony Abbott, and this man is world-renowned already as being one of the most brutal sociopaths in power on the planet, and of course one of the most imbecilic world leaders on the planet as well. This man has just introduced legislation which will come into effect on January 1st of 2016, which will remove family payments from any parents who refuse to have their children vaccinated. Essentially, any parent who refuses to inject their child with toxins which are known to create a myriad of problems later in life and very often lead to autism, any parent who does not do this and refuses to put their child through this and put their child in a position where they may be subject to autism or even death in some cases, is now going to be penalised, will not be able to receive any welfare payments, and will not be eligible for any subsidies in regard to childcare. And this, folks, amounts to a little more than forced medication, which is, of course, a breach of human rights. And this just shows the length that this government is willing to go to, folks. The Abbott government has removed so many rights from the people. You've got a government here that was elected on a platform of barefaced lies that has proceeded to abuse its position and abuse its office on every single occasion that it is able to do so. I mean, frankly, folks, Tony Abbott should be taken to The Hague and tried for human rights abuses simply due to his program of ethnic cleansing that he's carrying out against the Aboriginal people and due to his support for the war crimes that are being carried out against the Palestinian people by the rogue state of Israel. These two things alone should see Tony Abbott taken to The Hague and tried for crimes against humanity, but now we can add forced medication to his list of crimes against humanity. I mean, if there's any doubt that Tony Abbott is a corrupt politician and a barefaced liar, it can be seen with his new legislation. Of course, he's on an all-time high in his popularity at the moment due to his support for the false flag of Charlie Hebdo, his support for the illegal and fake war on terror, which is essentially a war of terror, and for the stance that he took after the false flag event in the Sydney coffee shop that they blamed on Muslim extremists as well, and of course it was nothing of the sort. His popularity, incidentally, has also been boosted by the many fake ISIS beheading videos that are currently circulating on the internet as well. And it just goes to show how controlled the people of Australia are. Bear in mind, of course, that this vaccination push was pushed by the Telegraph newspaper. And here we have a newspaper, which is supposed to be a newspaper which is actually presenting journalism and reporting the news to the people, and what the Telegraph has demonstrated itself as being is simply a puppet of politicians and a puppet of big pharmaceutical companies that is pushing the government and pharmaceutical line onto the people, regardless of the damage it may cause to their children. And this shows just how corrupt our political system and our media apparatus is just in this country, but it's the same across the world. And again, folks, this is because people have lost a true perspective of what's supposed to be going on in society and what our societies are supposed to be. Our societies are supposed to be here to provide safe, secure environments for the population. But when we have governments as rogue and out of control as we have, these societies are becoming anything but safe because the people within these societies are forced to suffer the will of the politicians and the brutality that is meted out to them by the police that is being used in order to enforce the will of politicians. And of course, if we attempt to take any legal action against these criminals that we've elected to power, then the police will not let us press charges against them. And this shows also how dysfunctional our legal systems have become. So it's time for us to really stand up and reevaluate this situation, folks. We've got a system here which was apparently created to service our needs, which has been kind of revamped so that it only serves the needs of the politicians and the corporations that they serve, and does so at the expense of the populations who employ them. Essentially, the servants have taken over the mansion, folks, and it's about time we stood up and held these criminals accountable for their actions. But of course, we can only do that with a united community, and that's why I've been stressing this point for so long. But it's getting to the situation where we need to do this, folks. And actually, like, all I can say to Tony Abbott is thank God that he is rolling things out as fast as he is and that the governments are stumbling as much as they are, because now I'm hearing people that I never even would have thought would be discussing these topics. I'm overhearing people in coffee shops talking about how corrupt and out of control the government is. So it's happening right across the board, folks. The actions of this government are waking people up in droves. And ultimately, they're not going to succeed in their task anyway, folks, because I really don't think the people of the world are going to allow it. I mean, nobody wants to live in a prison, and everybody can see that a prison is exactly what our governments are in the process of constructing. And what they are constructing, folks, is a corporate-controlled system where the needs of the people will always be placed second to the needs of the corporation, and where human rights will not be allowed to interfere with profits. And that's where we're heading, folks. And the way it's been done is because people have been kept distracted, mainly because people have been sold a lie. And vast amounts of the population are beginning to realize this now. I've actually met business people and stuff recently. I sometimes do talks at entrepreneurial events, business entrepreneurs who are somewhat disillusioned in life. And I'm often invited to speak at some of these events and offer them a different perspective to the way they may have been looking at things. And I've had a remarkable amount of success in reaching these people. And what I'm finding is that there are many people, some of these people are bank managers and CEOs of large companies, and they come to these lectures because they're disillusioned in life. These are people who have gone through the scholastic system, entered into the entire corporate system when they were young, and they've gone through the whole thing, and they've got to the stage now where they're 55 or 60 years old, and they've gone through it all. They've got all the money, they've got chains of banks, they've got, one guy I met owns 52 islands off one particular country, and they've got to this position in life and gone through the whole corporate system and become massively successful, and then when they've got there, they've gone, well, now I've done it all and I've got here, there's nothing here. What was it for? I've got to this point, but there's nothing here. How do I enjoy what I've got? I haven't got anything because I haven't got myself. I don't know who I am. I've done all of this stuff in life. But when I got there, there was nothing. There was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. What was it all for? And many of these people are beginning to question the system. And they're beginning to realize that they've been living life with blinkers on and that the world is actually very different to the way they thought it was. But it's been this distraction which has allowed us to be led to the point that we are now. And it's also been our work through supporting this corporate system and supporting these banks and supporting all these major companies which has built the prison for us. We've literally constructed our own prison. And we've done so because we've been distracted in our actions and we haven't realized what we were participating in. All the time we believe we were working to better our own lives and for the benefit of ourselves and our families, when really what we were doing was we were working for the benefit of the system. Because what we do when we get these positions, we get into a position where we're a CEO and we strive to make the company more efficient. And the way you make the company more efficient is you reduce the workforce and reduce the labor costs and you maximize profits. So really what you're doing is you're discarding humanity and making the system more efficient in its control mechanisms. And people have been doing this because it's what they've been trained to do because they've thought it was the path to self-realization and for success on a personal level. But now they're starting to realize that they were sold a lie and that was not what it was all for at all. It was about consolidating the power of the system. But there are many people now who are beginning to realize exactly what they're swimming in. And so that's a very good sign. People are beginning to realize that they've simply been looking in the wrong direction and they're beginning to understand why they've been looking in the wrong direction. It's because they've been trained to do so. And it's all been distraction, folks. It's all been chasing that pot of gold that exists at the end of the rainbow. If you work hard and you do this and you do that and you become strong in the business world. You're going to have all this money, and then the world is your oyster. You can travel to all these places, which incidentally we've homogenized so that everywhere is safe for you and everywhere is the same as everywhere else. So it doesn't really matter where you go. You're still in the same environment with different scenery. And we've given you all of these trinkets and things that you can buy with your money, all of which will eventually break and you can throw in the trash heap. But hey, it's fun for a while. And all of this has been a distraction, folks. It's been a distraction from life itself. Because what we're building with this society, these temporary cities that we're building, and they are temporary. We don't make anything to last, folks. If you have a look at any of our buildings, none of these buildings will be here in 1,000 years. We're all living in temporary accommodation. Doesn't matter how big and grand your house may look. Unless it's a castle built of stone, then it's temporary accommodation. We don't make anything to last. It's all temporary. It's all stuff that looks good on the surface, but really it's very cheap underneath. So we've been given all of this plastic synthetic reality to enjoy, and the result of it is we've lost the real connection we have to ourselves, and we've absolutely been disconnected from the planet which supports us. Now, when I say the corporate prison is being built around us as we speak, it's important to understand that the prison has always been there. Well, it's been there as long as the financial system has been there anyway. It's consolidated itself very much in the last 100 years or so since the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And what it's in the process of doing now is basically unveiling itself, because the prison, though it's always been there, it's been a prison without walls or bars, and so it's a prison that most people have not noticed. If you tell most people in average society that they're actually living in a slavery system, they wouldn't believe you, because they have freedom of choice. They have freedom to work at whatever job they want and to collect whichever trinkets they want. They've got plenty of toys to play with, but they never really stop and question the fact that they actually have to pay to be alive. What's that all about? And that most of their life is actually spent running on the treadmill in order to collect enough paper to do that and to have some of the comforts of life which they should be entitled to anyway simply by being born on Earth. I mean, everybody who's born on the planet is entitled to somewhere to live and to have clean food and clean air and fresh water and a place to grow their own food and the means of supporting themselves in whatever they want to do. It shouldn't have to be for financial gain. People should be free to do whatever they want, as long as they are looking after themselves and paving their own way and they're not a burden on anybody else or interfering with anybody else. This is a basic right of life. And people never question as to why this isn't a basic right in all of our societies. So they are, in fact, living in a slavery system, a system which is debt-based, and the money that they are forced to collect is actually a barrier between them and the abundance of the planet. And this is a corporate-run system, and it's always been there. It's been there for a long time, at least since 1302, since the Vatican Trusts came into being, and they spread this system out around the planet. But what's happening now is it's consolidating itself, and it's unveiling itself, so that even the normal people on the street can now see the control grid is there. But the interesting thing about the control grid, the interesting thing about the prison that is being put in place is, even though it's becoming more physical in as much as we can see it, we can see the weapons that the police are carrying around now, we can see all of these things, the prison is still a prison of your mind. It is still a prison that is based on fiction that is written on pieces of paper. And this, of course, is what the politicians dare to call law, when in fact it is legislation that masquerades as law. It's rules that are written on paper that is the colour of law, but really it's designed to remove actual law, natural law, from existence and replace it with the will of politicians. And this is a paper-based, fictional slavery system, and it is a prison of the mind, simply because people trust in the politicians and they believe that what they write on pieces of paper is real and that they actually have to do what these people say. But the reality is that politicians are public trustees. They're people that we appoint to manage our infrastructure for us. And the fact that they are allowing this corporate-controlled system to go ahead, and the fact that they're even running this system to begin with and running this system of financial slavery that they are, and the fact that they are using terrorism in order to remove all of our everyday rights from us, indicates that all of these governments are in abuse of office. And if we can get an awake and aware population to simply stand up and call a spade, we can make a real difference. But that's the only way we're going to do it, folks. It has to come from an awakened and motivated population. I mean, even if you're one who believes in the political system and believe that we need to do it through political means and form a new political party, well, that's fine if that's the way you want to do it to start with. But there's no way to achieve any freedom for mankind by approaching any of the politicians that we've got in office now, because every single one of them is in abuse of office. I mean, they're either in abuse of office because they're part of this slavery system, or they're too stupid to hold the position that they hold, because they should know all the things that I'm talking about. And if they don't, well, they're either part of the problem or they've just got blinkers on. I mean, either way, they're simply not fit to hold any position of authority within this society. I mean, if we put some honest people in there, if we had a responsible group of people who wanted to form a new political party and actually presented the truth to the world, well, that would be a good start. But we'd have to do it in pretty well every country that we've got. We certainly can't be seeking remedy from any of the politicians that they're giving us to vote for, because all of these politicians are chosen for us. I mean, look at the elections that are about to happen in the United States. The two main candidates are Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. I mean, for God's sake, people, you mean out of all of the intelligence of America and all of the intellect and all of the good and caring people in the United States, this is the cream of the crop? This is your best choice? Are you kidding me? Jeb Bush is part of the Project for the New American Century, and I believe was one of the people who even helped pen the Rebuilding America's Defenses document. And Hillary Clinton is just an out-and-out war criminal. She's a warmonger through and through. I'll never be able to get the image of her cackling over the brutal murder of Muammar Gaddafi out of my head. The way she was reveling in the brutal slaughter of that man really spoke volumes about this woman. And she truly does have a heart as black as coal. And the thought that this is who the American people are being given to vote for, I mean, come on, folks, is this really the best that you can do? Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. Folks, I reckon you could get any garden variety homeless person or beggar off the street, and they'd probably do better at running the country than anyone from the Bush or Clinton family. And isn't it interesting how these two families are always getting up there in a position of power, folks? Isn't it interesting? And of course, folks, the reason the American people are always getting presented with members of these two families to vote for is because these families are bought and paid for, and they're all part of the same puppet corporate system that's been controlling American politics for so very long. And not only American politics, but all Western politics. And in fact, most global politics now, because even the instability we're seeing in the Middle East is coming from these same corporate interests. All is being done to destabilize the world and to lock Western countries down into a police state. All is being done to depopulate the world, and all is being done by design. All the world is indeed a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and up to this point, humankind has been played like a fiddle. But I say up to this point because there is a great awakening happening right across this planet, mainly due to the actions of the government themselves. And that's a very good thing. It's very reassuring to see the amount of people that are questioning this system now. It's just finding the right mechanism with which to deal with it. And one of the most important things in achieving this mechanism, folks, is for people to open up to the people around them. People have to know that there are other people in their society that feel the way they do. They have to know that there are others who care, and there are others who are willing to stand up with them. And that's what we need now, folks. We need unity. We need compassion from all people within our society, because that's how we can heal the world, and we're being given every opportunity to do it. I really believe that we are. You know, as I've said so often recently, we have a massive humanitarian crisis happening on this planet. Things such as the situation in Palestine, which is giving us an opportunity to look at this from a humanitarian perspective and for us to step back into our humanity. And it's not just happening in the wanton slaughter that we're seeing through the Middle East and in places like Ukraine. It's also happening in our own countries via the simple injustice that the people are suffering at the hands of their rogue governments. Because all these governments are rogue. They all are. Every government that is running a system of debt slavery is a rogue government, folks. Make no bones about it. These people know what they're doing. They know how they're enslaving the population. They know how they're serving corporate interests. They know how they're discarding people right along the way under the guise of keeping them in a financially secure and economically sound country. And they know exactly what they're doing. Every one of them is in abuse of office. And the day that we stand up and come into our power and simply call a spade, then things will change very quickly. And that will come through compassion. It'll come through us respecting ourselves enough to respect the people around us. This is a point that I've been pushing for so long, for so many years. And it's getting to a critical mass now. People are beginning to see that this is the answer. This is the only way through the system. It has to come from an empowered community, and a community that is empowered enough to be motivated and actually get up and do the right thing and speak the truth. And we have to put down the division, folks, especially in the alternate media and research community. You people out there have to put down your division and stop attacking other researchers and stop attacking other announcers and other radio shows. Everybody's out there trying to do their bit. Everybody is trying to make a difference. Nobody has all of the answers. If anybody tells you they absolutely know what's going on, walk straight away from them, folks, because nobody really knows what's going on. We all know we're in a slavery system, and we all know what the main mechanism is that's running the slavery system. But what's at the top? Well, we can only guess, and we can continue to do that for years to come while they're building the prison if we want, or we can simply put ourselves back into the now. Stop addressing what may have happened in the past to bring us here. Stop projecting what we may believe our future to be and deal with the now, because right now there is a prison being built around us and we can deal with it right now if we apply our attention to it and stand up and get a little motivated and make our voices heard. That's all you really have to do, folks. Just choosing to speak out and make your voice heard can make so much difference. I mean, that's all I've decided to do, folks, and I do believe that I've made a difference. The amount of emails that I get from people and the amount of supporting letters that I get really makes me believe that I have made a difference. And that is simply one voice that has chosen to stand up and call a spade, not be politically correct, not pull any punches, just speak what I believe the truth to be. And if you do that, you can also make a difference. But be calm, be polite, be eloquent, and simply call a spade. Don't be politically correct. Don't pull any punches. Don't take backward steps to people. Don't believe that you have to be controlled in what your opinion is. Simply state what your opinion is and let the cards fall where they may. That's all I've done on the shows, folks, and I'm living proof that one voice can make a difference, and there are 7 billion of us out there. And if we choose to speak, then that is a hell of a lot of voices, folks. But I think we've reached break time here, so I'll have to leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, many people are beginning to realize that they've been sold a lie, and they're beginning to see this corporate system unveiling itself, and the control grid is becoming quite apparent to people. The question is, how do we deal with it? And as I said, how we deal with it is through awakened, empowered, and motivated populations who are willing to stand up and have their voice heard. And when looking at the system, folks, it's important to understand that the system really is just a meme. It's just an idea. It's just a concept that this is how the world should be run, and it's run according to rules that people write on pieces of paper. But these people are not our rulers. They're people that we employ to manage our infrastructure for us. The fact is that we are the nation. Whichever nation we happen to be in, we are the nation. The people of Canada are the nation of Canada. The people of the United States are the nation of the United States. The people of Brazil are the nation of Brazil. The people of Spain are the nation of Spain. It isn't the country. It isn't the borders on the map. It isn't the government. It's the people that make up the nation. That is the national identity. It lies with the people. You know, the nation of Spain is the Spanish-speaking people that were born on that land. That is the nation of Spain. And the government is there to ensure that that nation is kept secure. But it's important to always remember that it is the people who are the nation. And national security means the people are secure. And if the people are being oppressed by their government, if the government is bringing in legislation which is making things difficult for the people and putting them in a state of hardship, and if legislation is being brought in whereby the people are unable to question the actions of their government, such as we're seeing in Spain with the new gag laws, then this is a threat to national security, because the people can never be secure if the government that is controlling their infrastructure has put legislation in place which removes them from any accountability for their actions and removes from the people any ability to be able to question those actions. This is a matter of national security because the nation cannot be secure in such circumstances. Therefore, the mere fact that the Spanish government has brought in such gag laws is a breach of national security. It is therefore treason against the nation. And the people of Spain really are in a dangerous position. And what the people of Spain need to do is realize that this legislation from their government is a clear abuse of office, and they need to rally the people to rise up to express a loss of confidence in their government's ability to govern and take the necessary steps to have that government dismissed under their own fictional legislation. That's what needs to happen, folks, because what the Spanish government has done, and remember, folks, the Spanish government is simply a group of public trustees who are appointed to manage infrastructure. What these people have done is they have carried out a breach of national security by removing from the people their right to question the actions of their employees, namely government. And this is treason. It's a breach of national security. It's a crime against the nation. It's one of the biggest crimes the government could have ever carried out against the people of Spain. And the people of Spain need to go and talk with their police force and get these guys to actually go and arrest these politicians, because the people aren't breaking the law by speaking out against the government. The government is breaking the law by attempting to remove from them the ability to do so. And it's the same in all nations where such legislation has been put in place. Look what we've just seen in France. We've seen a huge outcry after the Charlie Hebdo false flag, which was an Israeli-run false flag. Most of the false flags are run by Israel. And you can tell simply because the results of all of these false flags always support Israeli interests. So there's no question where these false flags are coming from. But after that false flag event at Charlie Hebdo, there was a huge march in the streets designed at the preservation of free speech, because this Charlie Hebdo attack was seen as an attack against free speech. And then a week or two later, they brought in legislation which completely cracked down on any free speech in France. And so they did exactly the opposite of what they indicated they were going to do with their big solidarity march. And again, this is a breach of national security. It's a crime against the nation. It's treason against the nation, treachery by the government, and it gives the people the opportunity to stand up and express a loss of confidence in their government and have them dismissed for abuse of office, because that's what this is. So there are ways through it, folks. There are ways through it even within their own fictional legislation. I mean, they're the ones who wrote these rules on pieces of paper. Well, in certain circumstances, we can make them abide by their own rules. But only in certain circumstances, and only if we have empowered communities that are willing to stand up and have their voice heard. Now, one person can't do this. You need the nation to slap itself out of its stupor, get up away from its television sets and stand up on their hind legs for a day and actually call a spade a spade. But that's the problem, folks. Most people just want to sit home and watch their TV and watch their computer screens and wait for somebody to save them. They want the world to be saved as long as they don't have to participate. And that's the big problem, because what we need is audience participation. And you can participate, folks. It's really not that hard. I mean, look, I'm basically an anarchist. I don't believe in government at all. I think that we should be in a state of self-governance, but I think we have a few steps to go through to get us back to that point. But the point I'm trying to make with all this is that the system's here, and there are elements within the system that we can use. Plus, when you're talking about this sort of stuff to people, they need to have something to hang on to. You need to be able to speak to people in a way that they can identify with, so they can see the sense in what you're saying. This is why the approach of calling the governments out for abuse of office and expressing a loss of confidence in them and taking the steps to have them dismissed through their own legislation, this is stuff which is, again, it's all fiction, but it's stuff that the average Joe on the street can understand, because you start using words like abuse of office, loss of confidence in the government's ability to govern, and dismissal. And these are terms that everyday people can identify with. And they're also terms that scare the hell out of government, because these are legal terms that work within the government's own system. And it scares the hell out of them, because they know that if you go down that pathway, there is every chance you will be successful, because there's mechanisms in place within the legal system. I mean, this is what one party will use to dismiss another party. We had a dismissal of the Labor government here back in the 70s in Australia. And it was done by a majority of the politicians in the country getting together and expressing a loss of confidence in the government's ability to govern and having them dismissed. And we the people can do that as well, because we are the nation. You must never forget that, folks. You're not a little person. You are part of the nation, whichever nation you happen to live in. If you believe in nationalism and all this sort of stuff, okay, well, let's use it. Let's use it and make it actually mean something, because if you live in a nation, then you are part of that nation. Therefore, any threat against you or the other people of your nation is a threat to national security. And when that threat is coming from government itself, then the government has overstepped the mark. It stands in abuse of office. It's committed crimes against its nation. It's committed treason, and it needs to be dismissed. And there are mechanisms in place with which we can do this. The thing is, we have to do it now, though, folks, because the mechanisms are there now, but they won't be there for long. See, at the moment, the government has to still maintain a facade of responsibility. It has to maintain its image for the moment, because there are still a lot of people who are asleep and who don't see the control grid, and it needs these people to go along with the government plan. So it can't reveal itself too quickly, which gives us the opportunity to still use its mechanisms against itself. But by the time the control grid rolls out, then we won't be able to do this. Once the control grid is fully in place and the militarized police are there doing their work and society is locked down, there's no legal remedy from that point on. There's no remedy within the legal system or within the political system, because they don't have to maintain the facade of the illusion of choice and the illusion of compassion and the illusion of a workable legal system to the people anymore. It won't be like that. It'll just be an open prison. But at the moment, these mechanisms are in place, and that gives us an opportunity to be able to hold this government accountable for its actions if we choose to use these mechanisms now. So I think that's a practical way to look at things, and it's a way that you can talk to your neighbours and they can understand that yes, there's a problem and yes, there's a solution. They may not be someone who researches things like the 9/11 attacks or the war on terror. They may not be into conspiracy theories in inverted commas. They may not be into alternate media. They may not really know what's going on in the world, but they know that something is terribly wrong with what their government's doing. They just don't know what to do about it. And you can offer these people a mechanism and offer them remedy. And that's a step to wakefulness for those people. Because we need stepping stones in waking up the population around us, folks. You can't just go and turn a fire hose on and be an all or nothing type of guy and say we've got to be completely free tomorrow or it's all controlled opposition. I mean, this sort of attitude is ridiculous. There's been steps that have been taken to bring us here, and there's steps that need to be taken to get us back to where we should be. And the trick is finding what those steps are and what is going to work in different communities. And I think we've been given every opportunity to at least do something, folks. I mean, there's so many things the government is doing now in all of our countries, which is giving us the opportunity to rein these governments in. But if we're not prepared to stand up and speak to begin with, then it's not going to happen. If we just maintain our silence, then we're just letting them build the police state around us by our own acquiescence via our own silence. So it's important that if you can see what's going on around you, that you stand up now and make your voice heard. It really is imperative that everybody start doing this. You know, the situation is actually getting quite desperate, folks. It really is. The militarization of our police is becoming very much in your face, and the brutality of these people is also very much in your face. These are very, very cold, uncaring, sociopathic people, folks. They're very intolerant people, and they're trained to be that way, and they're trained to react very violently towards any questioning of their activity, any failure to answer their questions, any way that people step out of line at all. They are trained to respond in a very violent and brutal manner. And this is coming in right across all of our countries, folks. And the role of the police these days is one of law enforcement. It's not one of public protection. It's not protect and serve. It's not keeping the peace. It's law enforcement. This means they want to make sure everyone is walking between the lines, and they're going to stop and question people at any time of the day just to check up on them to make sure they're not breaking any laws. They don't have to appear to have been doing anything wrong, but we'll just stop them for a random check anyway, just so we can do a background check and just check up on what they're doing, what they're spending their finances on, and just make sure that they're not stepping outside of any lines anywhere. This is the new mentality of the police. And the laws that they're enforcing, folks, are the will of politicians. Now, with the militarization of the police that we've seen in our countries, what we've got is politicians that are essentially building their own private army to use against the people of their nation. And if the people don't rise and deal with this problem, then the people will be lost and our societies will be lost, folks. That is the truth of the matter. If we do not rise, we will fall. And that is a very sobering thought, but it is also a very real and very true statement. If we wish to save humanity from the fate that is unfolding before it, and we wish to change the direction the ship of state is sailing, then the people must rise. Now, as I was saying near the beginning of the show, there are a lot of people now who realize that they've been sold a lie. That all of the time they believed they were making their life better and they were working for their own personal success, they now realize that what they were actually doing was working to consolidate the power of the system. They realize that there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and that what we've got now really is this out-of-control corporate leviathan that just seems to be eating up the planet. And it is, folks. It's a system that supports itself. You know, you train everybody into a fictional reality. You get everybody believing that what's on the paper is real. And once you set these wheels in motion, it simply takes care of itself. It consolidates its own power because of the way people are trained to operate within it. You know, the system has its own life force. It's almost like a living entity on its own. And the food and energy and sustenance it needs and uses for its survival is the energy that the people give it, simply by the people's belief that the system is real. But the thing is that it's actually a fictional system. It's a paper-based reality. It's simply a matrix. It's a mental construct. It's a prison of the mind. And we could circumvent all of this and escape from this prison and free ourselves very quickly if people simply stopped complying with the system. But we need to do that in mass, because if one or two people does it, then the system quickly comes along and scoops them up and puts them somewhere where everybody else can't get to them, so they never find out the information. We need a mass global non-compliance of this system, and that would work. And I've actually been pushing for that since 2008, since one of my very first films. But the situation's changed now, and if people were willing to stand up in mass non-compliance to this system, then they would have done it by now. So it's not going to happen, folks. You're not going to get a mass exodus from this system. Everybody isn't simply going to turn away. There's always going to be enough people stay with the system that they will continue to support the system and allow it to function. And they'll see everybody who does turn away from the system as being a threat. They'll believe the government when the government tells them that these people are terrorists because they're saying nasty things about the government and the government is only there to protect you. And many people who remain working within the system will believe it because they're trained to believe this. They're trying to do what they're told. They're trying to believe that the television will always tell them the truth. And so even though something like mass non-compliance would work if it was done en masse, and may have worked if it was done on a large scale back in somewhere like 2008, now it would not work unless it was done en masse with everybody doing it. So what we need to do now is, yes, not comply with the system, but also use parts of the mechanism of the system against itself, such as I said, by expressing a loss of confidence in our government and presenting things to people in this way while the system still has to maintain some sort of a facade of responsibility to the sleeping masses. Because we're not going to get mass non-compliance, folks. Not enough to actually make a difference. We need to bring the system grinding to a halt, and there are mechanisms within the system that I believe we still have an opportunity to use if we're astute about it and if we're quick about it. And so perhaps we could put some focus there. I really think we need to have some discussions about all this sort of stuff. I'd like to see some panels getting together to discuss methods that we may use for finding a path to remedy, because we really do need some remedy to this system, folks. We need to stand up and pay attention to it. Everybody needs to put their rabbit holes down, put their research down for the moment, and turn and face this system, because we are at a crucial time in history. I knew 2015 was going to be a crucial time, and it certainly is shaping up to be every bit of that. So it'd be really good to have some attention focused on what is happening in our political arena and what our governments are doing, so that we can find a safe and workable mechanism with which to remedy the situation that is fast unfolding around us. So I'll put that out there now as a call to the alternate research community. If you have ideas and you think it would be a good idea for all of us to put our stuff down and get together and put a lot of heads together and create some sort of a panel where we can discuss a path to remedy, then please contact me. I mean, I'm all for it, folks, and I think this is what we need to do. I mean, in not complying with the system, you can still walk with one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality. This is what I've been doing for a long time, folks. I continue to question authority on every single occasion that I'm asked to do anything. I still don't comply with this system, but I do comply with it in as much as I've got a driver's license, I've got a passport, I've got things that I can use so I can move freely within the system in order to do what I do. So it's important to keep one foot in the fiction and one foot out, and there are still mechanisms within the system that we can use against itself, but only while the system is still maintaining the facade of responsibility, which it still has to do right now. It still has to do it for the moment, folks. They can't just turn the place into Mordor right from the onset. They have to kind of gradually work towards it, and that's what they're doing. They're just ramping things up very much at the moment because of the amount of information that is surfacing. Information that's surfacing about 9/11, information that's surfacing about the war on terror. I mean, the blatant obviousness of the whole ISIS situation in the Middle East, how this has been funded and run by the West, the amount of money that's been channeled out of the United States into the Middle East in the past decade or so, which has all been serving to destabilize the region and all been used to fund all of these terrorist operations. And plus there's the global financial system, which really requires the West to keep ramping up these wars. Incidentally, folks, there's a possibility that China will be floating a new currency around about September the 10th of this year. Now, I was saying a couple of shows ago that this is a Shemitah year, and very often we see quite major events happening on these years. We saw September 11th, 2001. We saw the global crash in 2008. And this is another Shemitah year. And around about September 10th, China is discussing floating its new currency. And if China does this, it will replace the petrodollar as the world reserve currency, because the petrodollar's gone. I mean, the debt of the United States, I mean, even the interest on the United States debts exceeds the gross national product of the entire country. You could sell every resource, every weapon, every rock, every stone, every blade of grass, every drop of water, and every person in the United States to the highest bidder, and you still would not pay off the interest on the United States debt to other countries, especially China. And if China floats a new currency in September 10th, it will see the complete collapse of the Western capitalist system. And this is a possibility. I mean, the United States may be able to delay this collapse for a little while longer by ramping up a few more wars and keeping the global situation as tense as it can, and perhaps trying to start a war with Russia and everything it's doing. I mean, this is one of the reasons the United States involves itself in so many wars, is because it's the only way to generate spending and the only way to keep its economy functioning. And that sounds kind of weird, I know, but that's why it does it. But if this currency is floated by China on September 10th, it will see the complete crash of the entire Western capitalist system. So that is something to look out for as well. Like I said, they may be able to prolong the facade a little bit longer, maybe a few months, maybe six, but I don't know. I doubt it. I think we may see something reasonably major happen in September this year. So just keep a lookout for that one, folks. And of course, such a scenario would also explain another reason why our police are being militarized so much in Western countries, because if such a financial crash happens in September, you're going to see a lot of pretty angry people. You're going to see a lot of very upset people who are wondering why the supermarket shelves are empty and wondering why all of their bank accounts have been drained. And it's an interesting thing, these financial crashes, folks, because it's a paper-based reality. Money is just stuff that we pass around to each other, and we believe it has value, and so the system functions. But if there's a financial crash and suddenly the paper isn't worth anything, well, all of the businesses are still there, all the crops are still growing, all of the cattle are still there, all the trucks are still there, all the fuel is still there, all of the warehouses are still there. Everything about the system is still there. It's just that we've been told that our paper is now worth nothing, and so the system cannot function. But the paper wasn't worth anything to begin with. It was just paper. It was just that it had perceived value. And now all the system is saying, well, we're taking that perceived value away from it, and we're turning it back into paper. But the people could say, well, okay, no worries. We'll just step away from your system, and we'll continue to use our paper because it still works for us. We can still pass it around to each other, and we know how much it's worth, and we can still keep the system functioning regardless of whether the paper is worth anything or not. It's an interesting thing. You know, you've got this worthless paper that we pass around that we perceive has value, and people can turn that value off, and then we perceive the paper to be what it is, which is simply worthless paper. But because we perceive it as being worthless paper at that time, then suddenly the system stops functioning. But it's worthless paper anyway, so why does the system function anyway with this worthless paper? And why does the system need the worthless paper in order to function? It doesn't. It's a really, really interesting way mind control works, how they can simply switch the value of paper on and off at whim. And though the paper hasn't changed and the system is still there and still fully functional, people simply choose to step into that reality because the newspaper and the talking heads on television told them this was the next move in the dance step of life. It's quite amazing, folks. It really is. But anyway, folks, I'm getting a little bit off topic here. And the point of this week's show is to point out that we are in a pretty precarious situation, and it's time for us to put all of our stuff down and to stand up and pay attention. We really need to do this, folks. We really need to create a little bit of unity and address the situation at hand, because if we don't, then we're very soon going to find ourselves in a place where we're just not going to be able to. We're not going to have access to internet the way we have now. We're going to find that people will start disappearing off the streets, and if a financial crash does come, then we're not going to have the social structure and the social cohesion and respect for each other to be able to survive it in a really positive way. We'll end up with lots of people going to FEMA camps. We'll end up with society eating itself. And we have a mechanism in place now that we can use to rein this whole system in if we choose to stand up and be counted. Simply call a spade and speak our truth. But I think that's it for me, folks. We've reached the end of the show here. It is a pleasure to come and speak to you. It's a pleasure to have the platform with which to do it. And I thank you very much for continuing to listen to the shows. We are at a very desperate time in history. Thank you for your emails. I really do love receiving your emails, and I love reading them. Thank you very much for the kind words you offer me. And thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. They really are needed, folks. If you can afford to drop a few dollars in, it would be great. I know times are tough, but it is truly the only thing that keeps the website and the shows going. So I do appreciate your help when you are able to give it. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.